I want to do a lesson today on a nation revived. We are in trouble, in my judgment. Now, what you think about it, that's your business. I think we're in trouble. I think we played with wrong things for a long time, and we allowed too many wrong things to come into our country. And I'm going to tell you that there will be people streaming into the United States in herds of people. And if you want that to happen, you'd be a fool. Because even the Bible will tell you, and I can't tell you where it's at right now, but I'll show it to you next time. If you bring that in, they will take everything you have before it's over with. You believe that's true? We need to be wise. We need to have sharper eyes and listening. In Ezra 9, 5 to 9, the text says, "Then at the evening sacrifice I arose from my self-abasement, with my tunic and cloak torn, and I fell on my knees, with my hands spread out to the Lord my God, and prayed. I'm too ashamed and disgraced, my God, to lift up my face to you." Listen to this. This is where we ought to be. "I am too ashamed and disgraced, my God, to lift up my face to you, because our sins are higher than our head, and our guilt has reached to the heavens. From the days of our ancestors until now, our guilt has been great. Because of our sins, we and our kings and our priests have been subjected to the sword and to captivity, to pillage and humiliation at the hand of foreign kings as it is today. But now, for this brief moment, the Lord has been gracious in leaving us a remnant and giving us a firm place in His sanctuary. So our God gives light to our eyes and a little relief in our bondage. Though we are slaves, our God has not forsaken us in our bondage. He has shown us kindness in the sight of the kings of Persia. He has granted us a new life to rebuild the house of God and to repair its ruins. And He has given us a wall of protection in Judah and Jerusalem." What was happening is in the nation of God's people, they had messed around and not done what God called them to do. What is typically the outcome that we get when we decide we're going to do something that God told us to do this over here, and we decide we're going to do this over here? What usually happens? It's bad. If you buy a car and somebody runs into it, does that ever happen? You can go get another car. If you got a little bit of sense, you got insurance on it, and they'll get you another car. It'll just make your bill bigger. But when you mess up a country or a world like this, this is not getting back real fast. When you have trouble on the scene, the background to this text is concerning the rebuilding of the temple. The temple had been destroyed. You say, "Well, I don't care about that. We don't have any temples over here." You go up and down the road and see if you don't have some of them. Huh? Up Lyon Avenue? Aren't there some of them up in there? Those are this big compared to Israel. So they're building here and bringing a revival back into God's community and His chosen people. And so we'll understand, if we keep working, that God is always willing to revive His people when His people do one thing: turn from your badness and come to your fullness of goodness. Do you think this nation needs a dose of that? Now, here's what's not going to happen. Because we have this little bunch right here, and we can say these things, that's not going to necessarily turn around this country, not even this area. I remember a time when you didn't have gambling in Shreveport. I remember seeing things that were good, right, and holy on the billboards and stuff, you know. About the worst thing you would say is Lucky Strike is fine tobacco. Now, Shreveport has turned into a slush pit. I didn't make that happen. You didn't make that happen. But do you think that's true, by and large, that that's true? This is the kind of thing, though it wasn't this thing, it was this kind of thing that destroyed Israel and those people. Psalm 138, 7 and 8. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand, you save me. The Lord will vindicate me. Your love, Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. Psalm 85, verse 6. Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? It's God's call for His people to be alive and vibrant and progressing. Those are three things that should be somewhere. What are we seeing in churches right now? Do you remember when across and through those doors going up into the next room up there, how many times we had sung songs in those rooms up there? Where is it at? Well, we crushed it down to this because this is all it is. This is happening all over the country. In other countries around the world, people there have been in this pressure of evil people in their countries trying to force them away from anyone and anything that names the name of Jesus Christ. That's sick. The question that should logically come would be a question of what kind of things had to happen to bring Israel back. What do we do? How do we get Israel back into the nation that God had given them to become the leaders and revival of the nation? And now it's gone. Little is done about it. How many of you remember when it was full here, all over this place? I mean, every seat. We should find the answer, and we should not neglect to ask ourselves, what would it take to cause the church today to have the same kind of revival it has in Israel? You know what it would take? What did it take the first time when Israel came back to right? That's what it calls for us. Somewhere along the way, when we decided to just call ourselves New Testament Christians and move along with that, as it seems, we just more or less decided we only needed the New Testament. We're New Testament Christians. If we could all do it in unison, we ought to all just stand up and slap our own self. That's the dumbest thing in the world. Well, I don't need that New Testament. I'm a New Testament Christian. Yeah. Let's see how you do when you get into some of those things in the Old Testament and what's going on and how God was preserving a nation, and that nation that He was preserving for the nation He was doing for us as well as others. Well, what about those Baptist churches? I'm going to tell you what God's going to do with Baptist churches. You want to know? anything he wants to. Now, did I say I was a Baptist or you was a Baptist? No. Have I been baptized? That's clear enough for me and for you. I believe in what we have that God has given us. When we come together, we talk about the things of God. Israel had a flaw because they let the guard down and people quit looking to the law the way they had done for many thousands of years. Just like Israel needed to rediscover the book of God, the church today needs to rediscover the book of God. Yes or no? Somebody said, well, it'd take me 2 years to read that Bible. Not so. If you start in the morning and go all through the day, you go through that whole Bible one day. I've done it many, many times. What would you think if you picked up the Bible and sat down and read it from one end to the other once a week, once a month? That'd be better than pieces here and there. That's the way it was done in the Old Testament. Those who were dealing mostly with the writing down, you know, they're making copies. You figure that if some of these scribes wrote the whole Bible out several times in the process, they probably got a little more wise about what they had. We have let things go that should not have gone. The church needs to rediscover that. The important statement is this: if we do not get the Old Testament, you're never going to get a clear hold on the New Testament. Well, I'm a New Testament Christian. No, you're not. Not without that big book. Well, I'm going to tell you what, you can dive around in that thing. And I'm ashamed I don't do it enough. I get a spell now and then, and I hadn't had one yet for a while. I've done it many times, and some of you have. But God gave us that book so that we could say, I found something. I found something great. Listen to this. This is in Kings 22 and verse 8. Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the secretary, I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord. He gave it to Shaphan, who read it. Josiah wanted to reform Israel, get it out of the sludge pit and put it back where it belongs. I can't do anything with that Old Testament book. That's just a mask. Now, if you were reading in their original language, you might have trouble with that. But whenever you can take those languages, translate them into our language, we have no excuse. Yes or no? So Josiah wanted reform, but it never seemed to make things happen fast enough to get it done. Every time he's just about on to something, couldn't carry it through. So Josiah knew and understood that the discovery of the book of the law had to be the answer to Israel, just the same way it is today in God's church. That's what God is telling us in the Old Testament, to stay with this book and quit trying to figure it out for yourself. You don't have to figure it out for yourself. He tells you what to do. And what's good about it now is back in the other ages of this, they didn't have where you could translate it into our language. Aren't you glad that you got books that you can go to and have that? Here's the thing about it. Somebody said, well, I just can't do that Old Testament. Well, if you don't get the Old Testament, you're never going to get hold on that New Testament. You cannot have the New Testament without the Old Testament, because the Old Testament was there to set the stage for the whole thing, if you can visualize that. Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 to 6. This is when they're saying, okay, we're trying to get things going here. All the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law of Moses. Now look at this. They told Ezra, the teacher, to go get the book of the law. Where had the book of the law been? Packed up somewhere? Yes or no? This is why I'm Church of Christ. There's stuff I have never yet learned, because it was just New Testament stuff. You get people that's got a little Bible. You know, I got a big old Bible over here, and they got little Bible, and they got it all in that little one. I'm thinking, I don't believe you're going to fit all that in there. That's some of that stuff's fat. What happened is we cut it down. I just want to be a New Testament Christian. You can't do it without the Old Testament, because the Old Testament is the trail you had to come up before you got to what you saw. They opened the book, and all the people could see him. Now, why would they be doing that? Obviously, they have not been doing this, right? All the people could see him because he was standing above them, and he opened it, and the people stood up, and Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen, Amen, and then bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Whatever it is we do here, we can't allow ourselves to let ourselves miss the people from the least to the greatest and honor them. That's our job. You know what they do today is measure preachers. That's a big mistake. Well, the preachers don't do anything wrong. That's a big lie. We need to begin to believe that there are people who are still hungry and thirsty for the Word of God and an example of His ways. We'll never be able to find the kind of honor or reverence or respect among our subjective feelings. Well, I just feel like, let me tell you something. If you're trying to work with the Bible, and you just feel like something, it's probably gas. It's not Bible. And there's too much gas in the church and not enough Bible. Think that's true? The knowledge of God is a critical, important facet of walk with God, and it should never be replaced by small, insignificant views that float and flow heavily within the religious people today. To see some of the importance of knowing God, we should look at the Scriptures and keep the eyes of our heart open to learn the ways He wants us to do. Listen to this, Isaiah 5, verses 12 and 15. They have harps and lyres at their banquets and pipes and tambourines and wine, but they have no regard for the deeds of the Lord, no respect for the work of His hands. Therefore, my people will go into exile with the lack of understanding. Those of high rank will die of hunger, and of the common people will be parched with thirst. Therefore, death expands its jaws open and its mouth wide. Into it will descend the nobles and the masses and the brawlers and the revilers. So people will be brought down low and everyone humbled in the eyes of the arrogant and humble. Do you think God's a little bit hacked off here? What's wrong with us? We don't know what we're doing. I'm going to tell you what, God's on our side, and it needs to be staying that way. Yes or no? Okay. Alan, do you have a song?